نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise him and we seek his assistance and we seek his forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may forgive you of your sins and accept from you your deeds. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. InshaAllah, we'll be continuing with our fiqh from the Quran and the authentic sunnah, with the understanding and practical application of the Salaf. And today's lesson, inshaAllah ta'ala, is part two of the Book of Marriage, and it'll be the explanation of this statement of our Shaykh Murad Shukri hafazahullah, as he says, tabi'un nikah إذن النساء لخطبة شرط بها أعلن نكاحا غاية الإعلان شرط الصداق وليس من حد له بل جاز في آي من القرآن وجب الصداق جميعه بالموت أو بعد الدخول تبين الوصفان. The statement of the Sheikh rahimahullah is translated as follows, inshaAllah ta'ala. The sister must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent is a requirement. One is commanded to publicize a marriage to the fullest possible extent. The dowry, or the mahr, or sadaq, as it's said in Arabic, is a requirement for marriage, and there is no obligatory amount set. One could make some of the verses of the Quran the dowry, or the mahr, or the sadaq. The dowry must be given in its entirety before death, and it is compulsory after the marriage is consummated. InshaAllah ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help and his success, to make today's lesson the explanation of the statement of Murad Shukri, which you just heard, both the way he said it and the translation. Last week, before I begin with the explanation of this, there was a hadith that I had wanted to mention, and I forgot to mention it. I just wanted to mention it. And that's relating to the statement of Murad Shukri, as translated, marriage is compulsory on everyone who has the ability to do so. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith collected by Ibn Majah, says, An-nakihu sunnati. Excuse me. An-nikahu sunnati. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِسُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَتَزَوَّجُوا فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمَ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ كَانَ ذَا طَوْلٍ فَلْيَنْكَحْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصِّيَامِ فَإِنَّ الصَّوْمَ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in this authentic hadith, as translated, marriage is my sunnah, and whoever doesn't work by my sunnah is not from among me. And I wanted to make this point that the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have of it that which is compulsory on the people to do, and you have that of it that which is recommended for the people to do, and you have that of it which is just permissible to do, and you have that of it which is haram to do. And maybe even you have that of it which is makruh, or disliked, or not recommended to do, or discouraged to do. Here the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing something of his sunnah that is compulsory. And that this word sunnah has a few meanings, and we should always be careful to understand the word sunnah in its proper context. The word sunnah doesn't necessarily or always mean recommended. At times it means recommended, but at other times, as in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it shows that which is for the sunnah, which is compulsory, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, marriage is from my sunnah, and whoever doesn't work by my sunnah is not from among me. So I command you to marry, so that I can be the one with the biggest ummah on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, or the day of resurrection. And whoever has the ability to do so, then I command him to marry. And whoever doesn't have the ability to do so, then I command him to fast. Because indeed fasting is a means of castration for him. So here the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying that exactly what our Shaykh Murad Shukri rahimahullah wa hafadahu is saying when he says marriage is compulsory on everyone who has the ability to do so. This is what I just wanted to mention from last week. And for this week, inshallah, we'll be beginning with the statement as translated, the sister must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent as a requirement. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And just as a reminder, when we hear those names, al-Bukhari and Muslim, we should keep in our minds authentic, inshallah ta'ala, as these two collections of books are known as the most authentic books after the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, the Quran al-Kareem. So here the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in this hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, to the statement of the Shaykh, the sister must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent is a requirement. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, لا تنكح الأيم حتى تستأمر حتى تستأمر ولا تنكح البكر حتى تستأذن قالوا يا رسول الله وكيف إذنها قال أن تسكت. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith says that a that a lady that has already been married before, and I don't know what you call her. Yeah, that's what you say in Arabic, but we were trying to give a translation. A matron or a maiden, or whatever word they use to show a lady that has been married already. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a lady that has already been married before shouldn't be married until she gives her consent. And a virgin shouldn't be married until she's asked. They said, O Messenger of Allah, and how is her consent? Referring to the virgin. And how is her consent? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, her consent is to be quiet. Her consent is to be quiet. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that the maiden or the lady who has already been married once or twice or how many times and seeks to get married again shouldn't be married until she gives her consent. And the virgin, the lady who hasn't been married before, shouldn't be married until she's asked for her permission, and her permission is her silence. And this, before we get back to our issue, just to take a side point. Now, yeah, the virgin's consent is her silence. Her giving consent is her being silent. And I wanted to say that here, maybe it's something that we find to be strange, that a lady or a young lady could be so shy or so modest as when she's asked by her father or the one who's in charge of her, I'd like to marry you to such and such, or such and such has proposed to marry you, that the sister wouldn't say anything. This is the modesty of the Muslim women. And this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indirectly is showing us, is trying to teach us, that we should teach our women, our daughters, to be very modest. And we also know, as we've mentioned last week or the week before, and purification of the souls, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-haya'u min al-iman wal-imanu fil jannah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, al-haya or modesty is a part of iman, and iman is in jannah. And the iman of these sisters, of our daughters, inshallah, that their modesty is to the degree that when they're questioned about something and they agree, that they're not so vocal or verbal so as to show their consent by words, but just their modesty and shying away from it is their consent. And women should be like this, and they should be encouraged to be this way, and that we shouldn't encourage them the way this society encourages them to be so aggressive and so outward and so vocal, because this isn't from Islam. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a man that was scolding his little boy for being so shy, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that authentic hadith, al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khayr, aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or as he said it to that man who was scolding his child for being so shy and so modest and quiet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him alone, because this shying or this modesty only brings with it good. Or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indirectly showing us, as he has showed us directly in other hadiths, that we should be modest and shy in general, and especially the young women from among us. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this authentic hadith is saying that a lady who has been married before should not be married until she gives her consent, and that a virgin lady, a virgin girl, shouldn't be married until her permission is sought. And they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what is her permission? He said, her silence is her permission. So this is for the statement of our Shaykh Murad Shukri hafizahullah, the sister must give her consent to the marriage. The sister whether she has been married before or she's never been married before, she must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent is a requirement, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is prohibiting us to marry a sister, whether she's never been married before or she has been married before, until she gives her consent. So this prohibition of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of marrying them without their consent shows us that giving their consent is a requirement of the marriage. I was questioned in relationship to this, and I'll add on before I'm questioned again inshallah ta'ala, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, "Athayyibu ahaqqu bi nafsiha min waliyha, wal bikru tustamaru wa idhnuha sukutuha." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this authentic hadith says the lady who has already been married before has more right to herself than her wali. That the lady who has already been married before has more right to herself than her wali. And the virgin, lady who hasn't been married before, should be asked. And her permission is her silence. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is seemingly saying that the lady who has been married before has more right to herself than her wali, as if he is saying salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, that lady who has been married before has more right to marry herself than her wali. This isn't what the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi is saying when he says that the lady who has been married before has more right to herself than her wali. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying what he was saying in the first hadith, and that is that the lady who has been married before isn't married until she gives her consent, as opposed to the virgin whose consent or permission is her silence. The lady who has already been married before must be vocal in that situation. She must express her consent and her words that she's pleased with marrying such and such, because she has more right now that she's tasted marriage and that she understands the responsibilities of marriage and what it'll take to be married, and she has some idea of what she's looking for in a man, and that she knows what will please her in a man and what will she will dislike in a man. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only giving the lady who has been married the permission to express her opinion in the issue, but is really encouraging her and letting her know that she has more right in this decision than the wali has, as opposed to the virgin, the modest, shy, innocent daughters from among us. These women only know what we tell them. Inshallah ta'ala, we have protected their eyes from the pollution of the society. We have protected their ears from the corruption that ears can hear. And we have, inshallah ta'ala, raised them as chaste Muslim women. And what they know is what their parents tell them. That their parents may say, this is the type of man that would be good for you. This is the type of man that you're looking for. These are the characteristics you should be looking for when you desire to have a husband, and we have that man with those characteristics. And a lady who is modest and shy and kept away from the indecencies of our society, in any society, who's unaware and naive to the world and what's going on, her parents will be the ones to actually make the decision, and she will just silently give her consent as to say, yes, I'm ready to be married now. But not that she knows what she should look for in a marriage, or what she should look for in a husband, or who would be good for her, or who wouldn't be good for her, but that will lay on her parents. As opposed to the lady who has already been married before, she knows. She knows what it's like. She knows what to look for. She knows what she wants. She knows what she'll be satisfied with, and she knows what she won't be satisfied with, and she has to express herself in the best way she could to let her wali knows exactly what she's looking for in this new marriage. And she has more right to express herself in this issue than the wali, as the wali would say to the sister, I think this brother is a good brother, I think you should marry him. Rather, you should marry him because of what the sister, what the brother should do, what the wali would do, inshallah ta'ala, in this situation, is to say, I have a brother, this is his characteristics. I have a brother, this is what he has to offer. And the sister, inshallah ta'ala, will express herself to the fullest as to be in control of this situation of her marriage to be. We're not saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying when he says that the lady who has already been married before has more right to herself than her wali, that she can marry her own self. That is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in a hadith that is hasan inshallah ta'ala, La tuzawwiju al-mar'ata wa la tuzawwiju al-mar'atu nafsaha. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this authentic hadith says that a lady does not marry another lady, meaning the wali marries the sister off, but a lady does not marry another lady off to her husband. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say in the last part of the hadith, and a lady does not marry herself. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear to the point that the lady, though she has more right to herself than her wali, she's not the one to marry herself off, nor does she have the right to get another sister who will agree with her to marry her off to the brother. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says the lady who has been married before has more right to herself than her wali, that is in expressing her consent to the marriage, as opposed to the virgin, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on and says the virgin should be asked of her permission, and her permission is her silence. So this is the question, this is the answer to those who question, does the lady have a right to marry herself off to the man who she's intending to marry because she has more right to herself than her wali, or that she can get another sister to marry her off to the man? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited, as he did in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Majah and Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni rahimahumullah, a lady does not marry another lady to a man, nor does a lady marry herself off to her husband. So that is the explanation, inshallah ta'ala, of the statement of Murad Shukri as translated, what the sister must give her consent to the marriage. The sister, whether she has been married before or she hasn't been married, she must give her consent to the marriage. If she's been married before, then she really must express her consent verbally. And if she's a virgin, then her silence is her consent. For her consent is a requirement of marriage, as there is no marriage without the consent of the sister, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that a lady who has been married before is not married until she gives her permission, nor is a virgin married until she sought her permission has been sought. They said, O Messenger of Allah, and what is her consent or her permission? He says, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, to be quiet is her consent. Naam. The brother was asking the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a lady doesn't marry another lady off. Does that mean that the sister, that the lady, the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a lady doesn't marry herself off, does that mean that it's not permissible for a sister to go out and find a husband and then tell her wali, marry me to him? Inshallah ta'ala, this hadith is not referring to that. And inshallah ta'ala, it's perfectly permissible for that sister, if she knows that there is a particular man that she wants to marry, that it's sufficient for her to inform her wali that she wants to marry that man, and then that they can marry them off, just as it happened during the time of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, as collected in this authentic hadith by, let me just get it here, that this authentic hadith, which is found, which was collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, where on the authority of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, خطب أبو طلحة أم سليم فقالت والله ما مثلك يا أبا طلحة يرد والله ما مثلك يا أبا طلحة يرد ولكنك رجل كافر وأنا امرأة مسلمة ولا يحل لي أن أتزوجك فإن تسلم فذاك مهري وما أسألك غيره فأسلم فكان ذلك مهرها قال ثابت أحد رواة الحديث فما سمعت بامرأة قط كانت أكرم مهرا من أم سليم الإسلام فدخل بها فولدت له. This hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, which is authentic on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Abu Talha proposed to marry Sulaym. She said, wallahi, the likes of you, Abu Talha, should never be refused, except that you are a kafir man and I am a Muslim lady, and it is not permissible for me to marry you. But if you accept Islam, then that will be my mahar or my dowry, and I won't ask you anything other than that. So he accepted Islam, and that was her mahar. And Thabit rahimahullah, the one who narrates this hadith on Anas, said, I have not ever heard of a lady before that was more noble and her and more generous in defining or stating the mahar that she desired than Sulaym, because her mahar was al-Islam. And then he went on to say, subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the sin of trying to take back the sadaq or the mahar for the man who has fulfilled his desire with the lady after he has married her, showing that after he has fulfilled his desire with her, that sadaq or that mahar has been made compulsory on him to give it to her, and that it's not permissible for any man to marry a lady and then have his desire with her and then don't give her sadaq, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to give the women after we marry them. And this is what the Shaykh hafizahullah is saying when he says, and it is compulsory after the marriage has been consummated, basing it, as the Shaykh had mentioned in his brief explanation, this verse from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 20. The Shaykh hafizahullah also points out, as he began his statement, the dowry must be given in its entirety before death. And that is from an authentic narration that was narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as Alqama rahimahullah said, Utiya Abdullahi fimra'atin tuzawwajaha rajulun thumma mata anha wa lam yufrid laha sadaqan wa lam yakun dakhala biha. قال فاختلفوا إليه فقال أرى لها مثل صداقي فقال أرى لها مثل صداق نسائها ولها الميراث وعليها العدة فشهد معقل ابن سنان الأشجعي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قضى في بروع ابنة واشق بمثل ما قضى. And this is authentic, and it's collected by Imam Ahmad, and also Imam Abu Dawood, and At-Tirmidhi, and An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, in their books of the Sunan, where Alqama, rahimahullah, said, a lady was brought to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and said that a man had married her, and then he died. And he hadn't given her her sadaq. And he hadn't entered into her, or he hadn't had sexual relationships with her. So they differed on this issue, and Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I see that she should have the sadaq that the women of that are like her or in her status or in her range have, and she has the inheritance of him, and she has to wait the iddah period. And then Ma'qal ibn Sinan al-Ashja'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I bore witness, or excuse me, he bore witness to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the same verdict that Abdullah made for Burur, the daughter of Washiq. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi had given the lady who was married to a man that had died. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the verdict that that lady has her sadaq from that man, that that lady has her mahar or her dowry from that man who married her and then died. This is the verdict that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu made, and it's also the verdict of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the explanation of the statement of the Shaykh as translated: the dowry must be given in its entirety before death, and it is compulsory after the marriage is consummated. And this was the explanation of the statement of the Shaykh: the sister must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent is a requirement. One is commanded to publicize a marriage to the fullest possible extent. The mahar, or the sadaq, or the dowry, is a requirement for marriage, and there is no obligatory amount set. One could make some of the verses of the Quran the mahar, or the sadaq, or the dowry. The sadaq must be given in its entirety before death, and it is compulsory after the marriage is consummated. And to repeat it again, and I hope that I don't bore the brothers and sisters for repeating so much in this fiqh class, but I feel that it's very important. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke, he would speak in threes, or he would say what he said three times, and the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he would say that so that the people could really understand what he said, or that the people could memorize what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the issue of fiqh, when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a very important aspect of our deen. And it's extremely important that we memorize the details of this deen, so that we don't make a deen up that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't bring to humanity. The translation of today's lesson: the sister must give her consent to the marriage, for her consent is a requirement. One is commanded to publicize a marriage to the fullest possible extent. The mahar, or the sadaq, is a requirement for marriage, and there is no obligatory amount set. One could make some verses of the Quran as the sadaq or the mahar. The mahar, or the sadaq, must be given in its entirety before death, and it is compulsory after the marriage is consummated. This is what we had to offer today. If there was anything good and correct, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there was anything wrong or mistaken, then it's from me. And I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and I take the responsibility for that. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Naam. Nah. She was given a dowry that was equivalent to the women of her level by the wealth that the man left behind after his death. Inshallah ta'ala. Naam. Yes. The brother asked, is there any authentic hadith in relationship to the deferred dowry? There is something mentioned on the issue of a referred dowry, deferred dowry. Allahu Akbar. As our Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi, Hafadhullah, mentions in his book As-Sahih Al-Musnad Min Ahkam Al-Nikah, or the authentic Musnad of the book of the verdicts relating to the issue of marriage, he brings that as one of the issues. Let me just take a minute right here. I thought I had it marked out. Yeah, subhanAllah. Oh, here it is. Relating to the brother's question about deferring a mahar or a sadaq, a Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi, he makes the issue, as he says, مسألة ويستحب تعجيل تسليم المهر ويجوز تأخيره عند التعذر. He says the issue, it is recommended to hurry up and give the or pay the mahar, but it is permissible to defer it with a reason or an excuse. And he begins off by saying, showing why he says that it's recommended to give the mahar or the sadaq, is recommended to give it right away or quickly. He uses the ayah in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنْكِحُوهُنَّ إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورُهُنَّ, that it is no burden on you if you wanted to marry them so long as you have given them their ujuruhunna or their sadaq or mahar. And here Mustafa Al-Adawi is using this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there's no problem for you to marry them when you give them their sadaq or their mahar. That shows that when you want to marry them, that you should give it because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. He also brings the hadith, which is authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and iltamis walau bi khatiman min hadid, to give her as a mahar or sadaq something, even if it's only an iron ring. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying to give it, to give it. So this is to show that if you want to marry someone, then you should give it right away. And then he goes on trying to show that it's permissible to delay it when, if you had an excuse, as he uses the verse in Quran, لا جناح عليكم إن طلقتم النساء ما لم تمسوهن أو تفرضوا لهن فريضة. And there is no problem for you if you divorce women that you haven't had sex with, or I think I better get Marcel Khan's translation here. That's in Surah An-Nisa, and the verse, I'll get the verse number inshallah in just a minute. Surah An-Nisa, verse number.
Zakallahu khair.
I think I need one of those, a regular mushaf to find this verse. I need just a minute to find that verse. Excuse me, that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 237. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 237, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as Marcin Khan translates, "And if you divorce them before you have touched them," meaning had a sexual relation with them, "and you have appointed unto them the mahar," bridal money given by the husbands to his wife at the time of marriage, "then pay half of that mahar, unless they," the woman, "agree to forego it, or the husband in whose hands is the marriage tie agrees to forego and give her full appointed mahar." Here the Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi Hafizahullah is saying that this verse shows that it's permissible to delay or defer the mahar. Why? Because if you want to divorce her, when you want to divorce her and you haven't touched her, then you can give her her mahar. So that shows that you didn't give it right away, but you got married to her and then you decided that she wasn't fit for you and you divorced her. So you delayed giving her her sadaq or her mahar to that appointed time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, the Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi, rahimahullah, back to the same question, uses as evidence to show that it's permissible, insha'Allah ta'ala, with an excuse to delay or defer the mahar. And that was the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we covered, قَدْ تَزَوَّجْتُكَ هَا بِمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, and I married you to her with what you have of the Qur'an, meaning that the sadaq was what he would teach her of the Qur'an. That he didn't give the sadaq right there on the spot because he didn't have it, but the sadaq would be given to her later as in time as he taught her the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Naam. Naam.
Whereas it was something he already had. So if, you know, as soon as he could, was capable of receiving it, he could give it.
So the question is?
The question is, with a marriage is consummated. Because, as you mentioned before, if he hadn't given it to her, and he hadn't consummated it, he'd be entitled to half of that dowry back.
Okay.
He has to get at least half.
Inshallah. Alright, I still don't get the question good.
The question is, with a consummated marriage, you know, where people are going ahead and consummating these marriages, they haven't paid the dowry, and they really don't have the dowry to pay. That was the second.
Alright, the brother is saying a lot of times, or at times, we have marriages, they've been consummated or not consummated, and the brother hadn't paid the sadaq or the mahar, but he had intended to, but he didn't pay it because he didn't have it to, and he was hoping to earn it, and he never earned it, and now he wants to divorce the sister, and the sister didn't get anything. I was going to recommend, and this is only advice from me, and you can take it or leave it, and that is that I wouldn't recommend that we delay our sadaq or our mahar, but we pay it right on time. And it's no excuse for someone to say that he doesn't have anything because he memorizes Surah Al-Fatiha and he memorizes Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad or whatever surahs, and he can use that. And the sisters should accept it from them. I mean, subhanallah, the man has to provide for her and take care of her, clothe her and shelter her and feed her after the marriage, so she's going to get something. And if she's willing to wait, if she's willing to wait, shows that she's ready to take him as he is. And we know that خَيْرُ الصَّدَاقُ أَيْسَرَهُ, that the best sadaq is the one that's easiest to give. And that the man should give something, whatever he has to offer, right away to make that her mahar or that sadaq or her dowry. And that if she wants something more, and she always wants something more, she should say subhanallah and alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar 33 times before she goes to bed. And that will be better for her, inshallah ta'ala, than this whole world and what's ever in it. Nah. Can I just take him out of his hand? Nah. Sadaq and mahar. The brother said, I didn't make a difference between the words sadaq and mahar, and I didn't want to make a difference. I just wanted to leave it as general as that which the man pays to the lady for marrying her. And Allah knows best if there's a difference between the two, but I don't know a difference between the two, but they seem to be interchangeably, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nah. The brother asks, could the sadaq be something consumptible or perishable, like food or whatever? We've been commanded to give the lady a sadaq or a mahar, even if it's verses from the Quran. Whatever you have to offer the lady, give it to her. And let's not go into the details of, could it be an apple or Sahih al-Bukhari or whatever, so as to make difficulties on us, as to try to narrow down something that if it was narrowed down, we'd be the last people to practice it, and Allah knows best. Nah.
The first part is we don't understand that what's being mentioned here in this verse is that there is a time when a man can give one wife or another.
The brother was asking about the verse, which is as translated, if you want to change, replace a wife with another wife, divorce one and pick another one, is there a time? Is that something that's done? The brother said, are we understanding that verse when we say that is something that's done? Of course, sometimes you see a brother, he says, I'm getting tired of her, and that sister over there, I think I should marry her. So he goes home and divorces his wife, and then he marries that lady. So yes, it happens, and if it happens, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance in that issue, and Allah knows best. The second part.
The second part of the question is along that same line, and that is, suppose a brother is married to one sister, and he sees another sister whose religion he is more pleased with, whose practice of religion he is more pleased with. How is it used for him to divorce a wife that he is not satisfied with and seek another one in marriage?
I hope the brother doesn't hold me to account for this. But I don't want to mention his question. I just want to leave it as that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Inshallah we'll talk. How do you determine what her level is? Clarify. if the man died and he didn't pay his dowry to the lady, his mahar, his sadaq to the lady, then how will we determine what level is the lady on to give the sadaq? When that happens, you can come ask me that question, inshallah ta'ala, I'll clarify. Is it permissible for the sister and her intendant to discuss preparations about their future? Example, living arrangements, where will they live, and would she be comfortable with any decision he has made? And does she have a say-so about the comfortability of her future? I didn't really see a relationship to this, to the subject matter, and I'm always trying to keep the questions related to that which we discussed, so at least when we leave, inshallah ta'ala, we could at least have understood something of the deen that we could work by. All of us have questions just like myself. I have questions about Islam that maybe I don't have answered right now, and I don't know. And I like them to be answered just like everybody else. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to learn something of the deen, let's try to make sure we have something of the deen. Let's try to make sure that at least the things we do learn and we understand, let's try to get that down. And then about the other things, the particulars that come along, then we'll deal with that as they come along, inshallah. The question went on to say, my wali has given us permission to discuss certain things on the phone, long as the conversation isn't long and it's not haram, but my intendants say it's not sunnah. This was discussed in an earlier class, called Don't Come Near Zina. And whoever wants to see that tape, then they can get some details on that, and Allah knows best. Can you tell me why I can't tape the class? I wasn't here when you made the announcement last week. The class is free for whoever wants to come and to get the knowledge that they want. But we didn't want them to tape it because everyone has to live, and we earn part of our living from the tapes, and it's a decent, halal earning, inshallah ta'ala, and I didn't feel that I was oppressive to the people or cutting off the people's rights when we prohibited them from taping it, because the lesson is taped and the tape is available and it's free for you to take the handout at no cost and to write down notes and to question and to have all of that at your disposal, inshallah ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make us successful in the decisions that we've made. Should a sister view the brother's inability to give her a dowry of material value? Should a sister view the brother's inability to give her a dowry of material value? Should this be equated to his ability to maintain her? It's a good question, as some of the brothers say. And maybe, and maybe not. Like me, as an example, I think that inshallah ta'ala, I'm among the people who maintain his wife and his family. But I wasn't among those people who was going to have a lady come to me with these ridiculous demands and to fulfill them. So just because I wasn't going to fulfill her demands didn't mean that I couldn't take care of her and I didn't maintain her and I couldn't maintain her. But we can look at, I mean, if the brother doesn't have a place to live in, and the brother doesn't have a job, or the brother is earning a job that won't be able to pay for a particular size apartment, and so on, then you can see if the brother can maintain you or not. And I don't really see that there's a relationship between the dowry and a brother maintaining the sister, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.